is Psalm 142. Psalm 142 says the maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Amen. This is a really beautiful psalm. And when you understand the context of this psalm, I think it will actually have more meaning for us. And so the first thing he says, it's a maskil. And this is translated a lot of times as a contemplation. But actually the better translation is instruction. And so with that, actually can give us a lot of insight, because this is really God's instruction. And notice also he's in the cave, which means, and most likely this is the cave of Adullam. Remember in 1 Samuel, this is where he is running away from Saul. And Saul is pursuing him. David, didn't do anything wrong. But he is being pursued by the king. And, the whole story of Adullam is actually incredibly insightful for us as Christians. And if I could just give like a one phrase summary of that season of David's life, it's when David basically gets to the end of himself. In other words, David's responsibility to care for David's life ended in the cave. And there was a major shift and transfer where now David realized it was God's responsibility. You've heard me say this many times, right? The end of me is the beginning of God, right? The end of me is the beginning of God. That's an original quote, by the way, right? But any case. And so what he's saying here is that when he's in this cave, he's coming to the end of himself. And again, it's a maskil, it's an instruction. And I think there's something quite important about that. Another way I'll say it is this way. It's really only in times of difficulty. It's only when we're in the dark despair of the cave where God really begins to instruct us. And I don't think that, because God only speaks in those times. I think it's more so because it's actually in those times that we actually listen, right? When we're at the bottom, and I'll give you kind of a personal example for me. There are certain things that I'm good at, and I know that I'm good at certain things, especially sports related. Okay. And I for as long as I can remember, I've just been good at sports, all kinds of different sports, and I just had a lot of competency in these things. And so when people try to coach me, I don't listen to them, And since a lot of times it's like, I think I know more than you do, but there's actually a sport that I started playing, golf, and I suck at it. And I'm getting better, but I listen to everybody. You know what I mean? Like when I'm playing with a new partner, because golf is a very social game. I'll just say, hey, I'm new to the sport. Yet if you have any advice for me, please let me know. And I'm so humble, because I don't know what I'm doing, and I could always learn. This is kind of, in a way, my own sports cave that happens. And it's a very similar thing. I think God is always speaking to us. But it's when these moments that we're in despair in the cave and we don't feel like we know what we're doing and we're confused and trying to figure things out, that's the best time for God's instruction. And so this psalm actually is really categorized very well. It's the maskil. It's the instruction, right? David was in the cave, and what did he do? He prayed. It was a prayer. And so let's go through this prayer quickly. I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. And so he makes it very clear. Now, remember, the pagans, they also cried out. You know, the people that they cry out to the idols. This was very common in this time. But David makes clear that his crying out is to the Lord, right? He's the only one that can help him. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. And verse 2 is so healthy. It is so healthy for us. You know, it's like, don't complain to your spouse. Well, I mean, okay, your spouse could be a safe person to do that, hopefully. You know, but, I mean, don't complain to your house church members. You know, don't complain. Complain to the Lord. Let God know all these things that are in your heart, all these things that are bringing you down, right? Your complaints, your troubles, all these things, you know, pour them out to the Lord. It won't do you much good pouring it out to people that, number one, really can't do anything for you anyway. You know what I mean? And all you end up doing at the end of the day is just gossiping. And so it's probably a better idea. Just pour your complaint before him. Declare your trouble before him. And he says, and when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, that's actually the connection to verse 2. And then it's a new thought, right? You knew my path in the way where I walk. And even though they have hidden a trap for me, right? Look to the right and see, for there is... Okay, we'll stop there. And so let me break this down again. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. That's one thought. And he's saying, Lord, I'm so troubled. I'm just going to pour out my heart to you. And this is a good prayer life. You know, I think we've shared over the years, you know, about kind of these kind of situations. And these are the exact moments or the only person that we could really complain to. And, you know, don't complain to others around us. It's not going to do anyone any good, right? You go before the Lord. And then there's some clarity in David's mind. It says, Lord, you knew my path. In other words, I'm sitting in this cave, and you knew that I would be in this cave. And so in the midst of all the troubles, there's this realization that, God, you put me into this place right now. So there must be something that you want to do in my life, right, in the way where I walk. And then... So it's like, this is just like our emotions and our prayers. So there's this like, oh God, I can't believe, you know, I don't know what's going on. And then it's like, Lord, but you're sovereign, you're God. So I'm here in this place. You have something for me. But Lord, they put all these traps. You can see kind of like this emotional roller coaster that David is on in this time. And they've hidden a trap for me. And this is, verse 4 is really sad. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. This is in a Jewish idea. This is like his right hand. And usually the right hand, on a couple different ways. In one way, as a warrior, you know, in military, this was your like most fearsome ally. This was like your bodyguard, you know. This was your champion in a way. And then as a king, this would be your most trusted advisor or your legal advisor. And so he turns and he says, he's basically saying to God, God, I'm all alone. Look to my right. There is no one there for me. There is no one who will speak my cause. There's no one that regards me. There's nobody that's in this place. And again, this is part of the complaining, you know, that goes up before the Lord. There is no escape for me, right? No one is coming to my aid, right? No one cares for my soul. And then, verse 5, and then this he comes back to this lucid moment, and I cried to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. And David realizes, actually, no, Lord, you are at my right hand. You are the one who advocates for me. You are the one that defends me. You, Lord, you are my champion. Remember, the Cave of Adullam is the end of David and the beginning of God. Like, in order for David to become king, he needed so desperately to go through this cave. Let me give you a quote. Oh, I mean, I hate this quote, but it's so powerful. A.W. Tozer, I read this early on when I was a youth pastor. Right? Before God can use anyone greatly, he must first wound him deeply. And I hated that quote, but I know it's so true. Right? Before God can use anyone greatly, he must first wound him deeply. And it's in that deep place of womb, in this cave, that we come to the end of ourselves. Right? The end of ourselves is the beginning of God. So, verse 6, he gets to the intercession. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. And it's true. King Saul, right? This is the army of Israel. Too strong for him. And so now he's kind of, Lord, listen to my prayers, right? Deliver me, right? I'm brought low. These are too strong. And then, verse 7, fitting end. Bring my soul out of prison. Not that he's in literal prison, but it seems like a prison to him. So that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Notice from the beginning to the end of this psalm. In the beginning, he's alone. He's complaining, right? He's surrounded by his enemies. And now he comes into this place. But this is kind of an added thing. Look at the beauty of this end. He says, the righteous will surround me. Did you know in the cave, you know who was in the cave with him? It's David's mighty men. Even in the midst of your cave experience, your desolation, God does not forget about us. And he surrounds us. He surrounded David with his mighty men. These became his most trusted warriors, advisors, friends. And, you know, the reality is, in the cave, right, in your darkest moments, that's when you realize who your real friends are. In your darkest moments, right, in the time where everyone turns their back on you, right, except for the Lord, you're going to find these gems. I mean, you're going to find these incredible pearls of people that stand with you in the midst of that time. I'll tell you, it's something, man. You know, it is something. And like Pastor Ed, you know, we would talk and Ed would say something. And he would say, you know, like, you know, those that have not been tested cannot be trusted. And it's just one of those things, right? It's just a leadership principle. Those, right, who've not been tested cannot be trusted. And I know, I mean, you know, we went through a season of our church. Like, I know, you know, who has my back and who's with me, right? This, you know, righteous that surround me, because we were all tested, you know, and some, you know, themselves through arrows, right? Others defended, you know, the whole way. It's just something. And this is like a gift. I mean, a real gift to us in relationship. That when we're in the caves of Adullam, man, you know who your friends are in the midst of this time. Right? And he says, and you will deal bountifully with me. It's a charge, right? It's like God, like, you're with me. And major change and hope begins to come out of this place. Amen? Let's pray. So, going from the beginning of this, this is instruction. If we just simply had, like, this principle in our minds, wow, it would change the way you look at difficulty. If you just simply looked at this and said, Lord, whatever troubles that I'm in, these are teaching moments. You are instructing me in some way. I mean, I hate going through this, but Lord, you have something greater in mind. There's a test that I need to pass. And Lord, I'll pass it because you are with me. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you that are going through trial. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you that are going through difficulty and temptation. You are in your own cave of despair and desolation. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you that He is with you. That He wants to teach you something that's going to change your life. That unfortunately can only be taught in the dark cave.
Never fails. are good.
Amen. You know, sometimes when we're in that cave, we don't feel like he's being good to us. But he's doing something. If you're in that season, submit your heart, your will, your mind. You know, talk to the Lord. Don't talk to anybody else. And watch what God does. And let's pray. Ask God to help you to surrender. Right? God begins when we surrender. Let's pray.